Thanks for tuning in to Go to Market Radio. Every episode, we'll be getting up close and personal with GTM leaders and experts so you can learn the secrets of their success. Looking to take your team to the next level? You're in the right place. Every week, we're bringing you an exclusive podcast from the Alliance Archives that highlights a core aspect of GTM. If you love this episode as much as we do, make sure to subscribe and we'll keep you up to date with all the latest on our channel.
Welcome back to the Ready, Set, Go to Market podcast. My name's Holly Watson, and I'm a Senior Product Marketing Manager at AWS. Today's episode covers a fun, debatable topic of launch versus release. I think we can all agree that terminology across teams is very important. As product marketers, terminologies, words, they matter, right? They matter a lot to us. For some teams, this means clarifying the difference between launches versus releases, or simply the difference between launch tiers. In our conversation today, we'll be discussing the nuances of each and how best to determine what your team might be working with. Joining in our conversation today is Allison Maloney. She's a senior product marketing manager with Epsilon, the technology arm of Publicis Group. Allison is a customer-obsessed and growth-driven product marketer. Passionate about the intersection of customer and technology, Allison has launched products and developed customer relationships at large corporations and growth startups, including Walmart, Ibotta, and currently Epsilon. Based in Denver, Colorado, her skills are in growth, loyalty, scalability, and having a healthy dissatisfaction for the status quo. Allison, I love that last bit. Welcome. So glad you're joining us today.
Thank you for having me. I'm looking forward to debating. I'm glad you used that specific word.
I think it'll be a fun topic. Before we get started, can you tell us a little bit about your background and how launches have tied into your product marketing career?
Yeah, absolutely. So I think you did a great intro to my background. And when it comes specifically to launches, I have worked in my product marketing experience in launches of all different shapes and sizes. So as you mentioned, yes, I've worked at both the startup and enterprise level. And I've also worked on more nascent stage planning and designing. How do we release that first proof of concept or beta all the way to mature products in mature markets? And I've also had some experience working across web, app, and SaaS products. So I have perspective both on the very strong digital space, but then also in the physical world too. When I was at Walmart, I worked on incorporating technology into the brick and mortar environment. So that created a whole nother level of digital and physical product launches.
Wow. Well, this will be a super fun conversation. So let's get into it. Launches versus releases, like I mentioned, sometimes a hot debate, sometimes amongst product marketers, even within our own organizations. So from your experience, how might you help us define a launch versus a release?
Yeah, great question. So I think the first thing when you're thinking about how you support a launch or a release or something new in the product world and you want to share it with the market is that definition. To me, I would define a release is when a product has been either built or enhanced by the technology team, so engineering product, and it is ready for use. So ready for the customers to use the product when it is released. However, a launch is then when we feel confident and ready to tell the world about that release. So that's something when we are sharing with the market about the new enhancements, about the new product. It's something that justifies enough support and a large enough story to be able to tell out in the market. But what do you think?
Yeah, I really like how you phrase that and the separation between kind of does the feature, does the functionality, does the product exist that might fall into that more cyclical release cycles versus the market readiness and how you define launch. I know that in my background, when I'm working with, you know, engineers, when I'm working with product teams of you know, all types of seniority, sometimes that the terminology can actually be blurred. A launch is a release is a launch. And so I think it's often a fun conversation to have to make sure that we have, you know, partnership alignment, right? Stakeholder alignment. Can the perspective that we bring to the technology team aligned to their definition, right? Is it the code is built? That means it's GA and ready to go. Mm-hmm. Or as a marketer, do we make sure that we kind of align the internal enablement, the market fit, the event, the compelling event that might actually lead up to a launch? So those are kind of the nuances that I take in terms of how we can separate those. And you know, the other thing I think we've got to get into is size, right? Can a small launch be synonymous with a release, but a medium tiered launch or a large tier might actually be separate, might be made up of a couple of different releases?
Yeah, I think that that's a great question to pose and a great question to debate. I think as we think about product scaling, also organization scaling, naturally product capabilities scale as well as they get larger and there's more resources. And I think not everything is necessary to communicate to the market. And that's actually a key competency of product marketing when it comes especially to aligning with your stakeholders or influencing leadership or just making sure that you are telling the right story and setting expectations accordingly. I think ways that you can evaluate whether something is a series of releases turn into one launch or whether the level of support you provide from marketing team is at a certain level or not ties a lot back to one, always tie back to your goals. I think one way that's a great way to get alignment is having shared goals with the technology teams. So OKRs is a great framework to be able to make sure that you have a shared objective and key result, and then the key areas that there are initiatives that you pursue may be different, but you're still trying to achieve the same thing. And maybe when it's initial product launch or it's a brand new feature that's being released, maybe that's something where you're focusing on acquisition. And when it's something that it's maybe more of a mature product or something that is a very large organization and you have an annual release, and maybe it's a smaller level of support that you have. So I think that it varies and it all ties back to your goals. But then other ways that you can evaluate are going back to the customer too. What is the customer feedback? What is the customer data? Is this a current expectation of customers and you want to communicate that you've delivered? Or is there some additional market intelligence that is helping shape you make your decision for the level and the size of support and how you communicate that? I think overall, is it enough of a story to tell and what story should you be telling is what you should be thinking about as a product marketer.
I like that. So if organizations are maybe not following a strict release schedule, how can possibly looking at launches in terms of that, you know, tiering or market event help with project prioritization, focus, and even capacity planning?
Yes, I think it's important that you mention that first part. So if organizations do not follow a release schedule, I think no matter what size organization you are at some point, there's going to be some sort of a delay or something changes or you have to be agile to pivot. So I'm glad you have that qualifier because it's incredibly important to make sure that you can pivot. And I think tiering is what helps you stay agile within a framework. So having what is a key tier that, what is a key, I'm going to need to hold on a sec. Okay. I think tiering is important because what it enables you to do is to be able to act quickly. It helps you to stay agile within a framework because what you can do is when you understand what your goal is, what problem you're trying to solve, what's the solution that you have based on tiering, you can then see with the goals that you're trying to achieve, the level of support or the level of external presence that you should be having as a result. So it helps you stay agile within that framework. And I think it's important to have a vision of your plan. And no matter what size of an organization you are, thinking through the key areas of how you help support a launch, starting out from market intelligence. That's something for what's the right information to tell the right story to the right customers in a way that is something that they want. Another thing, the second thing there is the go-to-market planning. So that's a lot of as you're planning for these launches and the dates may be changing or the features might be changing. And you need to not only understand what the prioritization is and what the key competencies are for a reaching the minimum viable product, but then what that minimum viable level of support is that you offer. So I think that thinking through go-to-market planning, having those tiers is incredibly important because then you can think through what the internal and external factors are. So for internal factors, what is the right set of enablement that you need to provide so the team is prepared? What is the training included? What are the tools? What are the sales materials that the team needs to have? And then external factors. This is something I think is huge. And when you mentioned a lot of times, leadership might have a certain perspective of what a launch is, what a release is, how something should be supported. Sometimes teams are so close to a product that it may seem incredibly valuable or it may be a huge internal gain. But this, I think, is a key area for product marketing to think about how you share this with the market. And that could be something like thought leadership, demand generation, working with analyst relations. But that market story is really critical because you are the one that's closest to the customer and you want to make sure that you can tell the story in the right way.
That's so great. I'm hoping you are listening to our other episodes. We had a deep conversations about that MVP and how you get there and how you think about it. So I love that you included that in your response and how you want to think about the experience that you're delivering to that end user and to that customer. Something that you've kind of also mentioned is those ways to satisfy the many stakeholders, right? Those the C-suite, the leadership, but also having metrics that align with your product team, right? Those shared goals. So how might you look at it from, or what might actually be the differentiating factor between a large tier launch versus a small tier launch?
Yeah, I think across organizations, there are two key areas that I would see to help understand whether something is large tier versus small tier. One is what goals do you need to make sure you achieve? Maybe this year you have an aggressive acquisition goal and you need to go very big in terms of how you're supporting your products and how you bring them to market to make sure you get adoption and you get it fast. So that could be one thing. Another thing could be maybe your goals are more so focused on something like client retention or percentage usage of the features within the product. So I think goals are critical to understand if something is a large tier or a small tier. Another factor in play, of course, is how big is the release? How much of an impact is this making? Is this something that is more so client requests and something that is fixing some bugs? Or is this something that is truly innovative and you are differentiated in the market because of your product? Another factor in terms of whether it should be a small tier versus large tier is the amount of resources. And I am a huge proponent that no matter what size of an organization you are, there's still going to be constraints on resources. So I'm a huge advocate that no matter what, you need to be thinking about your budget, you need to be thinking about your resources because they're going to be constraints at some point in an organization. I think when it comes to a small tier versus a large tier, and also thinking about something like the startup space or more enterprise level, a lot of it ties to the resources that connect back to that market activation. Do you have budget to send out an email and update your website and run some Google ads? Or do you have budget to run video ads, to run TV ads, to go even bigger? So part of that is thinking about the resources. And sometimes people intrinsically tie that to the size of the organization, but that's where I would disagree. And I think that another factor is not just budget, not just the amount of resources that you personally have as a marketing team, but also what types of resources you have when it comes to you as a product marketer and what you're doing. So something that might be more of a small tier is maybe if you're in the startup space, or if you work for a large enterprise and you are on the innovation team and you are a party of one, and it's something that is a small release, but it is meaningful enough to share with the market, then you get a small tier. And you are the one as the product marketer that is delivering all of the support for that. However, maybe it is something that's a very large release. It is your product release. It is the product of your company and it is brand new. I think thinking about whether something is ongoing versus a brand new product can completely change the direction of our conversation too. But if it's your key product and it's new, then maybe it's all hands on deck and you give it all of the support. And it does constitute a very large tier. And maybe that's product marketing doing all of that. Maybe it's the whole company doing all of that. But then maybe when you're at the enterprise level and you have something that's very big, you have more resources in the sense that you might be the hub to many spokes within marketing. And what I mean by that is when you're the hub, maybe you're the one that's helping set the strategy. You're the one that's helping share with the teams. Here's what we're trying to achieve with our product and here's our product goals. And then they can take their expertise and understand how they will activate it in their specific role. So maybe you're the one that's helping set the strategy, the product goals, you're working on the sales enablement, and then you have a content team that they can hear this. They know that we want to make sure we put out this information publicly, or we have a demand generation team. And based on the goals that are set for this product, they can understand how they would like to bring this to market when it comes to demand generation. So to summarize, no matter what, there's always going to be resources constraints. But I think as you think about large tier versus small tier, and it comes to resources, some of it might be what you as the product marketer is doing versus how you are helping set the strategy that then others help deliver to.
Yeah, I really love that you brought in that thinking in terms of how you partner with your other stakeholders and especially partner with marketing. When you're at that larger organization that maybe has a more established, demand gen team versus a, events team versus a, social media, PR group, something that as a product marketer, you're kind of working with every individual in terms of trying to figure out that marketing strategy. And sometimes even I'd love to get your thoughts on this when I'm working with a smaller tier launch. That might include, some inbound, outbound collateral for your BDRs, possibly a blog post and a mention in the monthly customer newsletter. But for a larger tier launch, you might take all of that and add to it. Have an event. Maybe it is in this time of age, something that's a bit more virtual. But you maybe tie that into a series. Maybe there's, some guests that you pull in from the market and have them speak towards the validity of the solution. But in terms of the small tier launch, maybe not having the full list of bill of materials or activities versus a large tier launch that's going to have a several longer list of activities that as a marketer you're executing against. How does that land with you? Where does that kind of separation of small and large launches fit within your experience?
I agree with everything you said. And I think you summed it up a little bit nicely or nicer and neater than how I did it, where a small launch has a shorter list, whereas a large launch has a longer list, because it's worth it to be able to tell to have more supporting factors to be able to support the launch. I really liked how you had mentioned, especially as we're thinking about a large launch, is something in terms of having an industry expert talk. And I think that third-party validation is incredibly important. And if it's something that you can earn or pay or achieve in some way through having an expert come to your organization and talk, and you can write some thought leadership with them. And maybe that's a marketing leader, or maybe that's someone that is an industry leader. Or if you are working with analyst relations, there's a lot of analysts out there that are studying quite a few areas of innovation and technology. So maybe they could come in and talk. And yes, it would have to be a virtual environment. So maybe it could be written form. It could be webinar form. It could be podcast form. So there's a lot of different ways that that could come to life. But I think third-party validation is something that is important to think through. And if you have the resources to be able to do it, it's helpful because it also arms your sales team. You now have demonstrated that you can talk the talk, you can walk the walk. And on top of that, don't just take our word for it. We have a third-party analyst or reporter or news source or industry expert that is validating that to make sure that to make sure that you are I'm gonna have to pause on this part too.
You're good.
I was on a roll.
You're totally good.
Okay. I'm trying to think about what I was saying.
To validate.
Yeah. Okay. I'm going to do the walk the walk part again.
Okay.
Okay. I think that third-party validation is incredibly important because it's also something that you can help provide to your sales organization. And it shows that you're not only talking the talk, you're sharing your story, you're walking the walk because you have this new product innovation, but you also don't just have to take our word for it as a customer. We have that third-party validation to be able to support that. And I think that something in the market that you can see pretty frequently is these analyst reports that are comparing different types of technology companies. And that is a huge way to create demand generation. And it's a huge way to drive that pipeline because an analyst or a third party is evaluating what you have to offer. So no matter how you achieve it, I think third-party validation is something important to be able to support your product with. Mm-hmm. We also don't have to keep this portion in the podcast. We can cut it if we need to, if it's too off topic.
Well, something you did mention, and let me maybe pause for editing purposes. Something that you mentioned in our conversation thus far is thinking about how to be agile amongst working with your launches. And so I'm curious to know, this is almost a two-part question. First is, if you're a product marketer and you're working with a team, you know, you've got your technology team or aligning with your stakeholders, how do you determine what actual size of launch that you're working with? And is it ever possible, hint, hint, nudge, nudge, that's what is determined in terms of the prep, you know, that launch tiering actually changes as you near the GA date or the launch date that you're marching towards?
Yes, I think this is a product marketing competency where you need to plan. You need to be agile enough to pivot. And throughout your planning process, you make sure that you are pacing and understanding where you're at. I think a lot of this ties back to communication, understanding, and having those cross-functional partnerships with your product and engineering partners. But I think no matter what, again, I'm going to have to say that it doesn't matter what type of organization you're at. You need to be able to be agile enough to support the changes. There might be a drastic market change, or one thing that we learned from last year is consumer behavior drastically changed when we moved into quarantine, and you need to stay agile enough to serve that customer, and you need to meet them where they are at and operate on the channels that they're interested in, or show up in the places that they want to engage with you in. So I think that was a huge learning coming out of last year, but I think it stays true no matter what, that you have to be able to plan, clearly communicate that, pace how you're tracking, continually meet with your stakeholders as well as your product partners. One of my product partners in the past and I used to always say we have to ruthlessly prioritize. So yes, we want all 25 of these things in this next release, but we need to ruthlessly prioritize and not rank every single one of them as priority number one or priority number one, two, or three. Rank them 1 through 25. Make sure that you are ranking them, understanding, pacing, communicating with each other. And then when you need to pivot, you can be able to. I think that's more from the perspective of partnering with your product partner and thinking about all of the different features or capabilities that you want to prioritize. But then when it comes to the marketing side and product marketing, no matter what, there will be changes. So whether it's the size of the tier, the timing of the tier, or the expectations of the tier, you still need to make sure that you can understand what the challenges that you're facing and what's the best way to support it. I think most of the time when we see launch tiers change, it's usually scope gets bigger. And that's a challenge that we all face with scope creep and how it, sometimes things tend to get bigger or expectations bigger, or people get excited about what we have to offer. And there's very high expectations in terms of adoption or success or whatever that key metric is. And I think the way that you can do that is always tie everything back to the goals that you're trying to achieve. And maybe that's a great idea for a market activation tactic, but if that doesn't tie back to our goal, then maybe now is not the right time to pursue that. Another thing I think that we haven't talked much about is a launch isn't a flip of a switch. It isn't today is launch day, we turn on the launch and every single thing is launched today at the same time. TikTok, my clock has reached 12, you're launching everything. It doesn't have to be that way. You can also think about tiering that as well. So maybe when we have launch day, maybe the key critical thing is getting that story to market. And what we want to make sure we do is we have a press release, we update our website, we send out a communication to our customers and our current lead pipeline, and we make sure prior to that, the sales team is trained and everybody internally is enabled. And then maybe we have great ideas. Maybe every single week we release something, or maybe every month afterwards, we want to understand first the organic success of the product. Is it something so intuitive that people are gravitating towards it? Are we organically getting adoption automatically without needing marketing support? There might be factors where we want to wait and tier these things out. I recently worked on a project where we had a large announcement that we made, and then every single week afterwards, we told a different story about it. So we not only shared our announcement, but then every single week we gave a different angle of it for 6 consecutive weeks. So then what that enabled us to do is we're able to pace out the level of support. We don't have to have every single thing ready on that one Monday morning. But we can make sure each week we're telling the right story. And that also gives the market time to digest that information. And it prolongs and scales out the impact of the story that we're telling and the market presence we want to have.
So many good nuggets in there, especially for, marketers looking for that inspiration of new angles to keep the marketing campaigns running. I love the idea that launches by no means are a single day event. They don't come down to the hour and then wipe your hands, you're done, on to the next project. So the concept that you're bringing and infusing into this conversation, that there's activities post that culminating launch date, is so, so important. Something that I'm super curious about, and you kind of touched on this a bit as we touched on the fact that of scope creep or market shifts are going to change a medium-sized launch to an extra large launch. So in that scaling or in your ability to be agile, how does that change the expectation setting that you might have with your stakeholders, both internally, such as, sales, your marketing partners, your product teams, even customer success and support? to your external partners, like your customers? How are you making sure that that type of scaling is, again, you're setting that right expectations with the many stakeholders that I know, you know, as a product marketer, we're always kind of running through our Rolodex of who are we making sure we've got aligned?
Yes. Yeah, absolutely. That's something that I've thought a lot about recently. The Product Marketing Alliance has released a handful of reports over time, listening to product marketers talking about what their biggest challenges are, what the key competencies are, what defines success. And mm-hmm. I like to go back to that report because there are a few things that are just crystal clear for requirements on the product marketing side in terms of competencies that you have. And I think it ties a lot back to communication. So making sure you're communicating, having that cross-functional relationships and managing all of the different moving pieces. And then another key competency is storytelling. So I think if you can put together the right vision and communicate that clearly, that's something that can motivate other people as well. And that's where you can start to get that alignment too. If you have, here is my novel of how I am going to support, I don't know if anybody's going to look at it, first of all. And then on top of that, that leaves a lot of room if there's a million and one bullets in there to add another bullet or question one of your bullets. So overall, I'm a big fan of a plan on a page. What I like to do when I think about a go-to-market plan or what it looks like in terms of a launch is a plan on a page and the page is folded in half. One half of the page is what is everything that needs to be done internally, and one half is what is everything that needs to be done externally. And I think, again, I'm going to always say it ties back to your goals and it ties back to your customers for how you determine the size of what is needed and what you're trying to achieve. But when you think about the internal factors, I think it's critical to make sure there's the right tools and enablement. So whether that's a pitch deck, whether that's a sell sheet, whether that's any kind of supporting tool that they might need, a demo video of the product, anything that can help the sales process or help communicate is critical. And then a key component of that as well is training. I think in order to get that stakeholder alignment, it's always changing and pivoting, but you can plan. So then you plan, pace, and pivot to make sure you plan as much as possible ahead of time to socialize with stakeholders. So that might be key leaders across an organization. And then as you get closer to the launch date, you have a larger training or larger socialization where you share that with their reports or the extended team. I think that's a great way to do it. And you mentioned a lot of different teams. I've spoken today a lot about your product stakeholders and partners, as well as sales stakeholders and partners. But there's a lot to be said about those other teams you mentioned as well. So everything isn't just about new business and new clients and nurturing the pipeline. It's also about current clients, and you want clients to be using your product and you want them to be using your new features. So I think sometimes teams tend to forget about that, and it's so important that we know all of the facts about retention is so much easier than acquisition. And you want to make sure that you never alienate your core consumer. And it's so incredible to be customer obsessed when you not only develop your products, but also you are working on, as a product marketer, telling the story and socializing that. So making sure that that's something that the client services team also has all of the tools to be able to have conversations with their clients to show that you have that continuous innovation and you're here to help future-proof their approach to whatever you're working on. And the last piece too is I'm sure there are other teams, but you can't forget internal enablement when it comes to marketing as well. Sometimes you're so close to the product and maybe you and your team know everything that needs to be done. Maybe you and your team and your small working group do, but There's also something to be had with sharing the news across the marketing organization as well. So making sure everybody is informed. They might have new ideas for you to be able to have the right sized launch. Or maybe you are thinking of a medium tier, but there's a couple of things that you can add to it that someone had a few ideas and they have a framework and it's something to easily be able to have a larger tiered launch, if that makes sense, to have that level of support. So I think it's important to make sure marketing gets enabled too. All of that fits within that one side of the paper. I'm drawing out the paper with my hands right now. So the left side of the paper would be that internal enablement, all of the internal factors that you need to cover. And that ties to a lot of socialization. It's almost like you're going on tour to be able to help make sure expectations are aligned, goals are aligned, and you've set the right strategy. And then when it comes to external factors, most of those some of those you can control, some of those you cannot control. But if there's anything about sharing the story ahead of time, or it depends a lot, I guess, if you're in the B2B world or B2C world, but is there, how do you want to bring this to market? How do you want to tell this story to the end customers? And then what type of way do you want to do that? Is that paid? Is that owned? Is that your website? Is that your email? Is that ad? So there's many different ways to be able to support it that way. And I think that is sometimes not fully understood by stakeholders either. It's more so thought of, hey, can I have a demand generation campaign for this? And maybe I think this is where it's key to have a conversation and understand that maybe they're just thinking, hey, can this have external support? And maybe demand generation isn't the right approach. Maybe it's updating the website, or maybe it is something that you have put a lot of effort into, quite a bit of demand generation. And so I think that that's a key area of understanding without overwhelming, is sharing that with your stakeholders. Overall, I think when you're sharing out and when you're putting together these plans and these tiers, most people immediately will be thinking, what's in it for me? And so I think the more that you can position things that way is, what's in it for you? What tools are available for you? What do you need to know? What are the key pieces of information for you to be able to succeed at your job? That's what a lot of people are thinking. And then making sure that you communicate the goals and what you're trying to achieve can also help support that. But most people at the end of the day, the different teams are thinking about, what's in it for me in terms of the information I need to know?
Well, man, we have covered so much. I think that it's at least through our conversation might be shedding the light on conversations that are so valuable to have, even with your internal teams. It's strictly just the terminology, right? I think that we could continue the conversation of launch versus release versus tiering versus real world applications and how that shifts and changes based off of many different factors. So my biggest takeaway from our conversation, Allison, I can't thank you enough for joining us, is have this conversation with your teams, right? Talk about, does launch mean the same thing to me as it does to you, engineer, to you, product manager, to you, sales person? Does release mean the same thing? And how might we be using this terminology to help us with our planning, with our strategy, and by all means, that customer experience?
Yes, I agree. I think... bottom line, have the conversation, because even today, I've learned a lot from you and in how you define things. And I think every organization addresses it differently. Every person will have a different interpretation. So the more you can talk through it, plan it out. I also think having a plan on a page is beneficial for having something documented and written out, and something for someone to react to as well. Having the written word is incredibly valuable as well. I know when we've been speaking about communication, it's a lot in the speaking form and in talking, but also written communication is incredibly important.
Love that. So through our conversation, we've talked about a lot, but I always like to end these chats with the ability to just kind of open the floor and ask, you know, what are things that we maybe didn't cover that you'd love for our listeners to know about or to be thinking about?
Great question. There were so many topics that we touched on and so many topics I think we could do an entire podcast on alone. So I think that, we talked a lot today about bringing products to life. I think one thing that we didn't talk as much about, but is critical to think through is this a new product? Is this a brand new launch? Is this a mature product? So thinking about the maturity of your product, thinking about the maturity of your market, those are all additional factors to thinking about how you right size what type of launch and what type of tier you have. One thing we didn't even touch on, and it could be a whole nother conversation, is we've talked a lot about bringing things to life, bringing products to life, bringing the enablement, bringing the market activation to life. But there's also another side to think about, which is in praise of maintenance, which we've talked a lot about innovation and new and bringing things to life. But it's also important to make sure that your products are sustainable and you're not just chasing after the shiny new object at all times. So make sure that the table stakes and the features and functionality meet expectations, meet the market. Make sure that you're staying on top of things. So then when you do innovate, you can build on top of that. And then the last piece too is sometimes you need to think about when it's time to say goodbye. Mm-hmm. And it's a really tough conversation, but maybe your product or maybe your innovation, maybe your feature, it could be a variety of different things. But sometimes when you are working on a product, something is not working. A lot of times you'll know, the customer data will tell you, the customers will tell you, but I have had this experience before as well. And it's a tough conversation to have, but at the end of the day, you need to think about where your resources are. And if something is not performing, if something is not achieving the right goal, sometimes it is time to say goodbye to a product, a feature, and sunset that so then you can allocate your resources to do something new.
Mm. So many good thoughts to add on to the conversation. I love that input, right? There's a lot of the times we get excited about that new innovation, but making sure that we are kind of thinking about, you know, pulling ourselves away and looking at the market as a whole to understand, are there ways to combine functionality that you eloquently put it, to say goodbye to certain capabilities? Definitely a good full rounded perspective that a strong product marketer can put in their toolbox. Allison, this has been so much fun. I really enjoyed our conversation today. I think that not only did you bring a lot of light to the go-to-market process at large, but specifically helping us understand qualifiers to help facilitate that conversation of launch versus release. Thank you so much for joining us. Thank you so much for joining us from Denver. How fun is this? and I really look forward to continuing the conversation. So I appreciate it.
Yes, happy to talk to you about this today. Happy to debate. And thanks for having me on.